This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we are halfway home. On a Monday, Ben and Woods, 97.3, The Fan. Yeah, still got a lot of traction on that, those Cameron Maben convos. And David says in the chat, so if it's not the fan base, then why is Soto doing so much better as a Yankee? I mean, he did fine here. Like, he was your offensive leader. And again, you know, I it's not a Juan Soto take necessarily. That's a take about a lot of players that Cameron Maben threw out there. This one just happened to be about Juan Soto. Juan Soto is also in a walk year. Juan Soto may have learned to, in the offseason, hey, man, he knows he's a great hitter, and he was a great hitter here. That, hey, I need to produce more, right? I need to produce more. I know he led the team here in home runs and RBI, and they didn't all come from bases loaded walks. So I think for Juan Soto is like, hey, I had a good year last year, but let's see how I can be better, right? So it's not a fan thing, David. It's not the fans are meaner to him, so he's playing better. Maybe he's more comfortable on the East Coast. Maybe he's more comfortable in that Yankees clubhouse. Who knows?
It's a good hitter's park
it's
for lefties,
really,
too.
It's a really, really good
compared
hitter's park.
Compared to Petco Park,
yeah.
It's a much better hitter's park.
No question about it. No question about it. So I think Cameron Maben was wrong. I think it's a really tired sports thing. Again, if Ben just listed off the list of previous winners World Series, the Texas Rangers fans, not particularly vicious. The Kansas City Royal fans are not particularly vicious. Some of the other ones are in there. I mean, it really, we want to give ourselves a lot of credit, and I don't think we deserve it. If you're meaner to the players, I don't know that they'll play better. Okay? I really don't. I think these guys are pros. Xander was talking about it yesterday. He knows he sucked. He doesn't need you in his DMs telling him you're going to kill him. You know, I will never agree with that. I think that's
unhinged behavior. I also don't think you have to be unflaggingly supportive
no,
and positive
nor do I
for
either.
Your team to succeed either.
I don't either. Bro, I'm screaming at the TV. I'm literally screaming at the TV calling guys worthless on a nightly basis, right? But what I'm not doing is I'm not in their DMs or heckling them from the field, telling them that they're garbage, you know, et cetera. That's just not who I am. You guys, you know, if you want to do that and you think that's going to make the team better, I don't necessarily agree with it. Because, again, if that was the case, why have West Coast teams at all? Just every champion would be on the East Coast. So we can talk more about it if you guys want. But right now, I wanted to stop down because we do have a little surprise for Benjamin, and he has no idea about this. You have no idea what we're about to talk about.
No, other than that you made me leave the studio before the show for a few minutes to set something up.
Like,
yeah.
Can you think back? The three of us and the rest of the 97.3, the fan crew, were at the Padres game yesterday. We told you about that earlier in the show. Is there anything that happened yesterday while we were together that maybe you thought could be coming up here?
It may stand out like a moment.
No, it was very normal, just there for a few innings of the game. What was odd?
So we all parked our cars and we walked to the stadium together,
right?
Me, Ben, and Paul. And we walked down in and we're heading up to the suite, and we got into a very crowded elevator.
Yes.
And I was up next to you, very, very close.
Oh, yes.
And I noticed something. It's Ben's hair. And I looked at him, and it's the closest I'd been to him in a while. And I said,
getting a little salt and
I
pepper.
Said, oh, no.
You were cheering against me. I was actually about to bring that up. I didn't realize this is where you were going. But in terms of cheering for or against your favorite people, you like me, but you were cheering against my hair. You were so delighted to see some. Yeah. I can't see it. It's the back of my
no,
hair
it's
now.
The side.
The side.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have to take some photos.
We'll get some photos. I freaked him out, the likes of which.
Yes.
He has not been freaked out like this. You were, as the kids say. You were shook.
I was a little shook.
When I brought this up, we were in the elevator, and I was breathing down his neck.
Think of myself as perpetually young. I want to not age. I'm hoping not to.
Well, you have been accused. I've been with you 6 years now, plus. And I must have had at least, I'd say, in 6 years, 10 people in my DMs not asking me, telling me, Ben dyes his hair. And I said, he doesn't, I swear to God.
Yeah.
I go, he's like George Washington. He's not going to lie.
It was, when it went around Channel 10 recently that I don't, no one believed me.
No
it was
one
shocking.
Because you worked with TV.
Shocking people around Channel 10 that I don't dye my hair.
People get work done. You get injections.
It's very common in television.
Very common in television.
Very.
Hell, it's common in radio, right? So I looked at him and I go, oh, he goes, what? And I go, got some, got a little salt in there with the pepper. And he goes, what? No, I don't. I go, yeah, I'm looking at some grays. He goes, you're kidding. I don't know. There's no. And I go, yeah.
I like to live my life after another famous Benjamin. Benjamin Button. I'd like to go.
Reverse.
Backwards and reverse and just keep getting younger.
So let me ask you this. As someone, look at thee. I mean,
so you've got, especially right above the ears.
Right above the ears. It's turning white.
Yeah, you're practically white above the ears.
I don't dye my hair. I don't think I'll ever dye my hair.
Got definitely some in your mustache.
On my mustache, I do put the, I'll make a confession. I use the beard, not the dye, but it's called gradual.
Isn't that what Just for Men does?
It's just
gradually.
For men. It's gradual.
Yeah.
But I cut my beard hair because mine's like sparse and white. Anyway, that's beside the point. So I saw some salt in there yesterday and it visibly shook you. Are you? Yeah, I can see it. I can see it. It's coming. So here's the thing. You've also been very proud of the fact that you don't dye your hair. Now I'm watching you. If that salt and pepper goes away, I'll know that you now dye your hair. Why are you so embarrassed to dye your hair?
It's not. No, I'm not. I'm not. And I don't think I will dye my hair. First of all, it just seems like a lot of trouble to have to go there.
A lot of trouble.
I'm just proud of the fact that I don't have to do it. Okay. Not that I'm embarrassed by showing my age with some.
Oh yeah.
With some salt and pepper.
Oh,
I mean, I'm
salty.
I'm almost 50. It's not.
It's not, and you look
doesn't
good.
Mean that I've done anything wrong.
Oh, you got one up top. Oh, it's more than I thought. It is more than
is
I thought.
Is it worse?
He's going to look. Here's what I will tell you. You're going to look ridiculously distinguished with some salt.
So I can look forward to that.
Yes. It almost looks unnatural because it's so dark at your age. Hence why people thought you have dyed it. So you don't think you'll do a little comb in action?
I like you said,
you look good.
There's no reason why I didn't want it to turn gray. I just happen to be proud of the fact that it hasn't.
Well, you were upset yesterday.
No, it was just unexpected. I didn't. Whoa!
Now we have created for you.
There's old Ben in the future, possibly.
Sad that I put the weight back on, but that's, you know,
yeah. Look,
I mean, that happens.
Look how distinguished you will be.
I can see that man on my TV in another 15, 20, 25 years.
Now, I did a Google search, and we found a product for you that I think is going to work even better than what, like, I use for my beard. Instead of Just for Men, we found Just for Ben. And it looks, look at that. Look at that guy right there. You look like you're 35 years old. They even found a jingle for you as well.
We're going to change your mind about coloring your gray with a natural look of Just for Men.
You look so natural, no one can tell with Just for Men. No one can tell with Just for Men.
Just for Men penetrates hair deep inside where natural color begins. Simply apply, and in 5 minutes, rinse. Gray is gone. Matched up for the rest of your hair.
You look so natural, no one can tell with Just for Men.
I think it looks great.
The joy that Photoshop brought me yesterday.
Paulie and I.
Is that a Photoshop or is that just my hair? That's what I look like right there.
Paulie and I were laughing. I was convulsing in my bed. I got an idea and I sent it to him and he's like, wait a minute, I just did the edit. And he sent it back to me and I go, oh my God. Just for Ben. So this one's made special for you.
Yeah. Well,
I will say, you're the least vain television personality I've ever met in my life. That was the one thing that everyone thought you knew already, but you really don't. I will attest to you. I've asked him in the darkest private moments.
I think that's part of it is that,
that picture is unreal.
It offended me that people would think I was vain enough to actually do
it. That's it. That's what it, the psychology of it isn't that you did it. It's, man, you guys really think I'm that vain? I'm going to dye my hair?
Yeah, my priorities don't really lie there.
Just wait till your boy comes in one Monday morning after a Christmas break, and I have no more gullet anymore, and I have the jaw of, like, Chris Hemsworth. You guys are going to go, you look different, Woodsy. I'm going to be like, what are you talking about? What? No, I've exercised a lot during the break. $5,000 on a gullet removal surgery. I'm going to have the strongest chin in this town if it breaks me. Okay? And I will, by the way, I'll be the first to tell you, I'm going in this weekend and getting my gullet snapped off. It's going to be.
You'll live stream the whole thing.
I will live stream the whole thing. Because I don't care what anybody
thinks.
We
probably have some tier ones who do that surgery who would love to volunteer to be the. Be your surgeon to get all the publicity for taking away Woods' gullet.
We could auction off this gobbler at the Christmas and holiday show for charity. What is that? Oh, it's Woods' old gullet, and he's going to sell it for charity. Yeah, I have none. I'm going to fight aging like a madman. Botox, whatever it takes. Botox, I don't care. I'm fighting all of it as hard as I can. I have a very attractive wife, and I want to make sure that I stay semi-attractive for her. I'm already doing a lot of feeble things. I need to at least look the part. So, well, thanks for
I appreciate Just for Ben.
Just for Ben was pretty solid.
Pretty nice, actually.
So now I will be watching you like a hawk, and if I start to see some darker hues,
well,
I will know.
I mean, it's not like I've never had a gray hair. I usually have Shelly pull them out.
They're like a gray hair.
A gray hair.
This was 10, 12 on
Yeah,
the side.
I don't want to start pulling out 20 hairs at a time.
No.
Because then I'll just be, you know, bald.
Be torturous.
That would be worse. And it's that. Yeah, it kind of hurts to do that repeatedly.
Paul,
so.
Will you tweet that picture out?
It
laid me out. That whoever that guy is. Now, what did you do? Did you just put his face over somebody else? Because it looks...
Yeah.
It looks phenomenal.
I erased your hairline. That's the hairline of the guy on the photo.
pretty similar, actually.
It's so good. Just for Ben. So, yeah, you're doing great.
How many takes did it take?
One. One take, Jay. Just for Ben.
Oh, God.
You do get hazed when you go on vacation. Ben will be off Thursday and Friday of this week.
And, before that, though, I have put together our annual Mock the Draft, which we'll have for you, I believe, on Wednesday. And credit to Pauly, who spent, I think, most of the weekend trying to craft all of the picks and Roger Goodell and Frankensteining it up so we'd have the actual picks and all the selections. Sorry, Pauly.
Outside of the Christmas and holiday extravaganza, I probably put the most work into the mock the draft.
Just for all his bits he does.
I pull like the entire first round of the NFL drafts. All are archived. Most of them are archived on YouTube. They're like 3-4 hour long broadcasts for the first 32 picks. I've gone through like the last 6 years because sometimes teams aren't in the first round. They trade their picks. I'm like, all right, when was the last time the Kansas City Chiefs had a first round draft pick?
And I have a few trades that are lined up and something I haven't done before, which even threw Pauly for a loop. So you got a lot coming this Wednesday for Ben's annual Mock the Draft first round.
Michael in the chat says, dear diary, I hate Woods today. Oh, what I wouldn't give! No one can tell just for Ben. If I could get my hands on your diary while you're on vacation, I would love to read some journal entries. If you kept
I'm not
one.
That self-reflective, I think you know. I liked lunch today.
Lunch was really good.
It's really good.
I like the way I'm swinging the golf clubs right now. I like the way I'm putting. I like my new chipping tip that I picked up. Oh, you're
world's friendliest diary entry.
Oh, yeah. Ben's diary is a great bit. That's a really good bit. And we'll try that when you're out.
All right, let's take a time out. If you want to join us, 833-288-0973. Thoughts on Cameron Maben's tweet storm over the weekend. We also...
Oh, this is a big one.
Going to shout out to his family. A big loss in the sports world, and one that I did not realize that people cared so much about this person that passed away. So we'll get to that coming up next after a check of traffic. More Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Good season, Sammy. Sammy Levitt's going to join us. Padres talk here at the bottom of the hour. I saw you. You were watching some playoffs over the weekend, but not basketball. You're watching hockey.
Finally,
it was actual playoffs. NHL playoff hockey, not regular season hockey that you thought was playoff hockey from last week.
Correct.
Did it live up to your hopes?
What's your third feeble
your dream
you've done this week?
Car alarm.
Yeah.
Watching something that you thought was something else.
Correct. I am as feeble as it gets. I did watch some of the Canucks and Nashville Predators game last night and was, here's what I did. I checked in, which makes me an expert. I checked in on the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs, and the differences are stark. And I mean, as stark as differences can be.
Wasn't a great weekend in the NBA playoffs.
I watched last night the Oklahoma City Thunder against the New Orleans Pelicans.
That was the best game of the weekend.
And the 10 minutes I watched, I went, you are literally putting me to sleep.
And that was by far the best game of the weekend.
Chuck a three, brick. Everyone's halfway down the court. Chuck a three, brick. Chuck a three, made it. Chuck a three, miss. You know, drive to the hoop, uncontested, layup, good. I'm like, and Bo and I were watching, I go, all right, I'm going to go back to hockey. Now I'm watching hockey. I'm watching the Canucks and the Predators, and every game is like a game seven. I mean, everyone is fighting every single play.
The checking is more intense.
Oh, my God. It clears the NBA playoffs by a
now,
mile.
I think the problem in the NBA, they do play more defense in the playoffs than they do in the postseason, but that actually makes the game worse, not better. And that's the problem sometimes with the NBA playoffs.
So I happened to put on the Canucks-Preds game, and I watched Preds. Listen to me, Mr. Barry Melrose here checking in with you guys. I saw perhaps the greatest save in hockey I've ever seen in my life by the goalie of the Canucks, Thatcher Demko. And I did not know this until this morning. Hillary from 91X tweeted, cheers to San Diego, born and raised Canucks goalie Thatcher Demko. Great game once again. Did not know this. How did you miss this San Diego connection?
I also
live for this.
Apparently, the sports show gets all their sports news from
Hillary
at the music station. Our competition is where we get our sports news. He didn't go to high school here, but he was born here, and he is now an NHL goalie.
He made a save, you guys. He was in full splits, and his pad was up, and it was a quick pass right in front of the net. Boom, blocks it. It was unreal. My dad is a huge Dallas Stars fan. I grew up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I'll be watching. We have a lot of tier ones that are Stars fans. Be watching that tonight as well, along with the Padres.
It's fun.
Dude, how great is that save? It's so fun. They play so hard in the playoffs. So not that they don't in the regular season, but you can understand why you'd take a few plays off when you're playing 82 games. And man, it was vicious and violent and everything that you want.
Yeah, I appreciate you watching a little bit of the hockey, but even I, who watch more sports than most, so hard to be an expert at everything. I mean, you know, as baseball as well as anybody I know.
So far from an expert in anything.
But then it's so hard to be an expert in every sport, which is why Howie Schwab from ESPN was always
staggering.
Blew my mind, even as a guy who knew some sports trivia. I mean, Chris Ello is probably the best at our station when it comes to overall sports trivia, and even he would have to bow down to the greatness that was Howie Schwab, who passed away over the weekend. You might remember the game show the ESPN had for a few years called Stump the Schwab.
He was
like the big boss at the end that you had to get by to actually win the cash prizes.
I love trivia, as you guys know. We do Take on Woods every day, but I love trivia. You would watch Stump the Schwab and go, no. I mean, just didn't have a prayer. I'd get Jeopardy, I love.
Like, he never even got flustered.
I mean, he got beat a couple times, but it was so rare that he would get beat. The guy was a wizard, and I didn't know this. I had been super slammed on Saturday and kind of looked at my phone, and I texted the guys. I go, the Schwab died? So I didn't know. How did it was 63 years old?
63. I mean, I saw some of the pictures, looked like maybe he had been in some bad health.
But man.
What I didn't know about the Schwab, I knew him from the Stump the Schwab show. But the outpouring from ESPN staffers and ESPN on-air talent about the kind of guy that he was.
Incredible.
He was a producer and a researcher, but he was the kind of guy who was always trying to make everybody else look really good on the air. Dick Vitale was one of his guys that always would set him up with all the info, but there were so many people who had been at ESPN who said how sweet of a man Howie Schwab was and how he always just took some extra time, kindness, and everything. It wasn't just the sports knowledge that made him beloved at ESPN. He worked there for about 25 years until 2013 when I think he got caught in the, bunch of layoffs.
Yeah.
And I saw people criticizing ESPN. How could you ever let a guy like that go?
That guy's a beast, dude.
Dickie V said that he learned he passed away from a heart attack.
So sad, man. He was great. And, he parlayed his knowledge into a literal spot on ESPN.
A producer that became a star.
On air. One of the most unlikely on-air stars that you're ever going to imagine. I mean, there are people in TV who are behind-the-scenes people, and they just don't even think about going on camera. And they put him on camera, and he became an absolute cult legend on the Stump the Schwab show for his knowledge and just kind of his personality. It was a great show.
Rich Eisen, Keith Olbermann, Dan Patrick. I mean, everyone to a man.
Stuart Scott.
No. I mean, they're eulogizing him this week. Yeah, be tough.
Part of the show.
Yeah. They were all tweeting about how great of a dude he was. So you know how we do it. Here on Ben and Woods.
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult. So, shout out to his family.
His wife posted on Howie's account, "Dear family and friends, I wanted to take a moment to express my deepest gratitude for the beautiful messages you sent in memory of my dear husband Howie. Your words of comfort and support have been a source of immense solace during this challenging time." Susie Schwab.
Yeah, very, very sad. And he would just whip your ass up and down the court with sports knowledge, man. It's pretty impressive.
Just got a text from my TV colleague, Steve Smith. He says, "I tried to set up a story with Thatcher Demko when he was drafted. He never showed up twice." Maybe that's why I didn't realize he was a San Diego guy. If you want to be hailed in San Diego, show up for your story, Thatcher.
He bailed.
I don't know.
No
showed up for the story he wanted to do. Hey, kid gets drafted from San Diego into the NHL. Let's do a nice story on him.
No, pass.
Didn't show up. I guess he was working on the splits.
Unbelievable.
Done okay.
It's very San Diego of him as well.
Yeah.
Couldn't make it.
Let's take a time out. Bottom of the hour. When we come back, saw him yesterday at the ballpark. He was doing his thing at the Western Metal Supply Company building. Our pre- and post-game show host, Sam Leva, in-season Sammy, will join us to wrap up the weekend that was for the San Diego Padres. Coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Don't forget, you can tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. for 97.3 The Fan's commercial-free Padres Roundtable featuring Ben Woods, Andy and Elston, and Gwen and Chris, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For takeout or delivery, go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable, the last honest pizza. And I think I saw everybody at the game yesterday. All of the hosts. Tony Gwynn Jr. was working the game. He was working. He was there.
He's excused.
That's
an excused absence.
All of the producers were there as well. I saw Scraby and Braden. Annie and Elston were there. Chris was there. You and I were there. Adam was there. And we saw Sammy Leavitt at the game as well. Of course, he was there doing his thing. Sammy's standing by. He is going to join us right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. No rest for the Sammy. He's got another Eco Water SoCal pregame show coming up at 4:40 today. But as he does each and every Monday, we get to talk to our pre- and post-game show host, Sam Leavitt, here on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, guys. I've been sitting here with the YouTube stream pulled up during the commercial break and all the fun videos that Paulie has playing there during the commercial. What a job by Paulie, right?
Excellent.
No detail is ignored. Just terrific job as always.
Can you, from
Thank
your
you, Sammy.
Can you for right now from your can you see Ben's gray hair? that we were talking about. Now, he's got a different filter on. He has like a yellowing filter. It's the jaundice.
You don't have a yellowing filter.
He has the jaundice light on to make him look like he's jaundiced. Can you see his gray hair?
I cannot see his gray hair. Ben has a great head of hair.
He does.
I mean, he's got a great head of hair for TV. But yes, his camera does look a little bit different than everybody else's. But
yeah.
that must be the fancy new ring lights they have in there.
Sometimes
I put on the ring light to make myself look good.
Yeah, he is you're very yellow in this one.
Sammy, do you have any gray hairs?
The hepatitis.
I do. I have a few. There's one that's pretty noticeable when I comb my hair a certain way. So I do. To be honest, though, I've had a couple of grays for a while, like going back to, I think, even in my mid-20s. So I don't think it's multiplied that badly. I've got a few more, but for now, it's not a dire situation.
Well,
covering
baseball, we'll give them to
that's
you.
That's true.
You know, covering
can,
the San
now,
Diego.
Can he use just for Ben, or is that just for me?
No, we got to do just for Sam.
Just for Sam
yeah,
as well?
Just for Sam. Okay. We'll make you your own. But covering the San Diego Padres, it's gray hair inducing. I mean, it absolutely can be. Watching really a tale of two teams sometimes, Sammy, and Ben was, it sounded like Ben was turd polishing earlier. He actually wasn't, was saying, you know, and I think I misspoke. I said they were 13 and 13. They're 12 and 12, you know, but I can't decide, Sam. Am I happy about being .500 against the level of competition we've played? Playing poorly in some games, certainly, which is going to happen from time to time. But I'm also very encouraged by this team. I'm really, as it stands, kind of on the fence and fairly optimistic and happy about the San Diego Padres as we sit here today.
Yeah, I think you can feel all those things, Woodsy. I think based on their schedule, to be .500 right now is okay. And look, if you go and look at their schedule, really through late May, early June, it's tough. I don't know that enough people realize this. It's a tough early season schedule. I haven't went and looked to see where their schedule, if there's even in baseball somewhere to look at this, like strength of schedule for a period of time. But it's a tough schedule. They've got a lot of teams that should be right in the postseason mix throughout May into early June. So this is going to be a tough test for a while. I think the fact that they're sitting at .500, the fact they've shown you some really nice characteristics and qualities as a team, so far those
Shut it down. Lost Sammy for a second.
We can have him try to either call back in or not. I wanted to ask Sam. He tweeted, and other people have noticed this as well, but he tweeted after the game yesterday. Once again, Robert Suarez threw nothing but four-seam fastballs in the ninth inning today. He's now thrown nearly exclusively four-seamers in his last six appearances.
Incredible.
The handful of sinkers, which are essentially just slightly modified fastballs as well. No change-ups, no sliders.
Has he thrown a sinker? Are we sure he's thrown a sinker?
Heat. I'm not even 100% sure he's thrown a sinker.
A sinker is essentially a two-seam fastball. I'm pretty sure he's just thrown four-seamers.
Sammy, we're talking about your tweet about Robert Suarez. Six appearances dating back to now the Cubs series, I believe, or even the Giants series, where he has not allowed a run, and he's not really thrown anything but fastballs. You said maybe some sinkers in there, but they're all pretty darn hard, and, he's not mixing it up. He's not moving it around.
No,
he's just
up,
challenging
no
everybody.
Ball,
and while the success has absolutely been there, I totally get, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Until they show that they can beat you, why would you do anything else? But if I'm an opposing hitter, I mean, the scouting report's out. Go up there, and you are hunting nothing but 100-mile-an-hour gas. Someone's going to get him eventually. There's never been a pitcher who has ever been able to live on one pitch.
Sure there has. Mariano Rivera lived on one
That's
pitch
true.
For 100 years. And the other thing,
but
too,
it wasn't
is
a straight fastball.
No, it was a cutter. But, I mean, if you locate, there's no reason. You need as a closer, there's no reason. And no one's making contact
not,
up
I mean,
this guy.
I mean, a lot of them are down the middle, though.
Yeah.
A lot of them are down the middle.
Yeah, it's
Sammy,
an
what are you saying?
Fastball.
Have you talked to anybody about this?
Well, I talked to Robert about it about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks, and at that point he may have gone two or three outings where he had thrown exclusively four seamers. I think that may have actually been before he even mixed in a sinker. And he said to me that he has confidence in that pitch and that if he can locate it, it feels like he can perform really, really well. So, he did mention using the changeup a little bit, you know, to mix things up, but, he clearly has a lot of confidence, in that pitch. And at this point of the season, I'm not all that worried about it of guys, you know, hunting fastballs. You know, look, we know Robert Suarez has that changeup that can be really, really devastating. Obviously he has the variation of the fastball, and I'm sure when he's reading swings and going throughout an outing, if he's facing a team that looks like they're dialed in on a fastball, he'll make the necessary adjustments. I just think it's interesting more than anything.
It is so interesting.
Going back to it, yeah.
I guess just for me, I know he has that changeup.
But the threat, Ben, the threat of knowing that.
Even just throwing one away occasionally, like in the dirt, just so the other team knows it's still there. The fact that you've gone six straight.
But they know it's, yes, they know it's there.
At this point, if I was facing Robert Suarez, I'd just be sitting heat. And if he beats me with a changeup, good for him. But if he's gone six straight appearances in a span of somewhere around 60 to 70 pitches without throwing anything else, I'm not looking for anything else. And if he fools me, good on him. But I've got to be sitting fastball at this point.
I think you could sit fastball for the rest of your life.
Well, I couldn't. But I feel like guys like eventually like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and players like that. I've been told that major league players can hit a fastball. They no matter can. How hard it is, they eventually will hit the fastball.
It's just he's got that life to it that it's working. Knock on wood, man. He's going to Colorado. All bets are out the window. I don't even if he gives one up in Colorado, I don't even blame him because it's Colorado, Sammy. But he's out there doing his job.
Yeah.
Getting those last three outs, the toughest ones to get, certainly. But for the rest of the guys, I think one thing we haven't touched on this morning is I suffer from a lot of confusion about lineups every day. And, you know, I understand Graham Pauly had the big error the other night. There's times in yesterday's game, too. I'm like, look, Mike Schilt said as much on Saturday. Quote from him in Kevin Acey's piece. Yeah, Tyler Wade's pretty much a utility player. And then he kind of backtracked and was like, it doesn't mean he can't play every day. It still surprises me that Tyler gets that fourth at bat. Like, if he's going to start the game, fine. But he gets that fourth at bat late in the game. Do you think that's defensive only? I know Eggie's been subbed in for defense at times. We have four guys covering third base essentially at this point, right. Sammy, waiting for Manny to get back. So I'm just a little bit confused about usage, and you can't call Paulie up here to just sit on the bench again.
Well, look, I agree with you on that for sure. I felt this way coming out of spring training, and quite frankly, I have been a little bit surprised based on what was said during spring training, how Paulie has been used at least to this point in the major leagues. I mean, I really felt like coming out of spring training, if Paulie was going to be on this team, he was going to get a real chance to play almost every day, right? Because that's what made sense to me. And honestly, that's kind of what we heard coming out of spring training. If a young guy like a Merrill or a Paulie made the team, you know, that they would probably be in a situation where they play mostly every day. And obviously that has not been anywhere close to the case so far. So, look, I'm very intrigued to see what happens now this time around. You know, look, yesterday facing a right-hander in Chris Bassett, it wasn't Graham Pauly. It was Tyler Wade who got the start. Look, Pauly did have the error the day before. I don't think with a young player like that, who has such limited experience at the major league level, I don't think you can literally play it game to game, right? It can't be a situation where if Pauly makes an error or he takes an over that he's not playing the next day. To be honest, Woodsy and Ben and Paul, I'm not totally sure of what the plan's going to be moving forward, because I would have said coming out of spring training that Pauly's going to play almost every day, and that didn't happen. So we'll see. Again, you know, just initially, if you're going to call him back up from AAA, it would indicate to me he's at least going to play more. But you're right. It's been a total revolving door at third base. And some of that just is what it is, right? I mean, you have Rosario and Wade who have been platooning, and along with Paulie when he's been here. you know, and I suppose if you're just looking at it from a performance standpoint, yeah, there hasn't been one guy that's like stepped forward and grabbed that position and said, I'm playing every day. You know, if a guy really has an opportunity to do that with the way things are set up, and obviously Manny eventually coming back to third base as well. But I'm very intrigued to see what the playing time looks like for Graham Pauly. Because again, if he's here from AAA El Paso after you already sent him back down to the minor leagues, I just feel like he's got to get a chance to get some run and play most days and get some consistent at-bats and really see what he can do, because to this point he hasn't had that opportunity, quite simply. So we'll see, but point, and even since Paulie's been back the last couple of days, you know, that hasn't been the case so far. So I think it's an intriguing storyline until Manny's playing third base again.
Well, and Eggy, I think, is the best defensive third baseman that they have right now, but you can't throw, I mean, I guess you could throw him in the lineup against right-handers. He just doesn't hit right-handers.
He made a bad play yesterday.
He did. Yeah. He did, yeah. I mean,
yeah, no, that's a good point. And I think, like, you know, yesterday, and it was asked about Mike Schilt after the game on Saturday, actually, why Eggy stayed in for a second at bat. That was the eighth inning. He had pinch hit for Paulie in the seventh, had a double, if you remember, and then in the eighth inning, he actually stayed in for an at-bat against the righty Swanson, and they decided to keep him in against the righty. Again, I don't know if that's any indication of anything, but, you know, Eggy's had some nice moments offensively, and I did understand in that spot saying, you know what, let's keep him in against the righty. He just hit a double.
Yeah.
You know, so I got it. But, yeah, continues to be kind of a, you know, an interesting situation at third base with how that playing time is getting divvied up.
As you both kind of indicated, this all changes when Manny Machado is back and playing third base regularly. Then it's a DH issue. We've seen Donovan Solano playing over the weekend in El Paso, perhaps getting closer to his debut with the San Diego Padres. Have you heard anything lately? I know we ask a lot about Manny's return.
Yeah.
I know he's got a paternity leave likely coming up soon as well. We're not sure when that is. Is there anything that you got this weekend, an update on where Manny is?
I didn't. The last time that we heard Mike Schilt talk about it was last weekend in L.A. And it was, you know, I think what I said to you a week ago, where, you know, obviously it seems like a very, very fluid situation based on Manny and how that arm's feeling and how that throwing program is going. And I think also it's very clear that when he does play third base, it's not going to be him playing third base every single day right away. It's going to be third base, then maybe a DH day, then, you know, they're going to ease him in. So I still think we are a bit of a ways away from Manny playing third base every single day like we're accustomed to him doing. You know, but again, a little ways away.
Don't forget, you can tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. for 97.3 The Fan's commercial-free Padres Roundtable featuring Ben Woods, Annie and Elston, and Gwen and Chris, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For takeout or delivery, go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable, the last honest pizza. And I think I saw everybody at the game yesterday. All of the hosts. Tony Gwynn Jr. was doing
working
the game. He was working. He was there.
He's excused.
All of
that's an excused absence.
All of the producers were there as well. I saw Scraby and Braden. Annie and Elston were there. Chris was there. You and I were there. Adam was there. And we saw Sammy Levitt at the game as well. Of course, he was there doing his thing. Sammy's standing by. He is going to join us right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. No rest for the Sammy. He's got another EcoWater SoCal pregame show coming up at 4:40 today. But as he does each and every Monday, we get to talk to our pre- and post-game show host, Sam Levitt, here on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, guys. I've been sitting here with the YouTube stream pulled up during the commercial break and all the fun videos that Paulie has playing there during the commercial. What a job by Paulie, right?
I mean, excellent.
No detail is ignored. Just terrific job, as always.
Can you see Ben's gray hair that we were talking about? Now, he's got a different filter on. He has like a yellowing filter. It's the jaundice.
I have a yellowing filter. There's no filter on
He has the jaundice light on to make him look like he's jaundiced. Can you see his gray hair?
I cannot see his gray hair. Ben has a great head of hair.
He does.
I mean, he's got a great head of hair for TV. But yes, his His camera does look a little bit different than everybody else's, but
yeah.
that must be the fancy new ring lights they have in there.
They
Sometimes
are.
I put on the ring light to make myself look good.
He is you're very yellow in this one.
Sammy, do you have any gray hairs?
The hepatitis.
I do. I have a few. There is one that's pretty noticeable when I comb my hair a certain way. So I do. To be honest, though, I've had a couple of grays for a while, like going back to, I think, even in my mid-20s. So I don't think it's multiplied that badly. I've got a few more, but for now, it's not a dire situation.
Well,
but I do have a few.
Covering baseball will give them to
you. That's true.
You know, covering
San
Diego.
Can he use Just for Ben, or is that just for me?
No, we got to do Just for Sam.
Just for Sam as well?
Just for Sam. Okay. We'll make you your own. But covering the San Diego Padres, it's gray hair inducing. I mean, it absolutely can be. Watching really a tale of two teams sometimes, Sammy, and it sounded like Ben was turd polishing earlier. He actually wasn't, was saying, you know, and I think I misspoke. I said they were 13 and 13. They're 12 and 12, you know, but I can't decide, Sam. Am I happy about being .500 against the level of competition we've played? Playing poorly in some games, certainly, which is going to happen from time to time. But I'm also very encouraged by this team. I'm really, as it stands, kind of on the fence and fairly optimistic and happy about the San Diego Padres as we sit here today.
Yeah, I think you can feel all those things, Woodsy. I think based on their schedule, to be .500 right now is okay. And look, if you go and look at their schedule really through late May, early June, it's tough. I don't know that enough people realize this. It's a tough early season schedule. I haven't went and looked to see where their schedule, if there's even in baseball somewhere to look at this, like strength of schedule for a period of time. But it's a tough schedule. They've got a lot of teams that should be right in the postseason mix throughout May into early June. So this is going to be a tough test for a while. I think the fact that they're sitting at .500, the fact they've shown you some really nice characteristics and qualities as a team, so far those going to the positive, right? Obviously, they've been
Shut it down. Just start it over.
Lost Sammy for
lost
a second
Sammy
there.
For a second.
We can have him try to either call back in or not. I wanted to ask Sam. He tweeted, and other people have noticed this as well, but he tweeted after the game yesterday. Once again, Robert Suarez threw nothing but four-seam fastballs in the ninth inning today. He's now thrown nearly exclusively four-seamers in his last six appearances.
Incredible.
The handful of sinkers, which are essentially just slightly modified fastballs as well. No changeups, no sliders.
Has he thrown a sinker? Are we
just
sure he's thrown a sinker?
Heat. I'm not even 100% sure he's thrown a sinker.
A sinker is essentially a two-seam fastball. I'm pretty sure he's just thrown four-seamers.
Sammy, we're talking about your tweet about Robert Suarez. Six appearances dating back to now the Cubs series, I believe, or even the Giants series, where he has not allowed a run, and he's not really thrown anything but fastballs. You said maybe some sinkers in there, but they're all pretty darn hard, and, you know, he's not mixing it up. He's not moving it around.
No,
he's just
up,
challenging
no
everybody.
Ball,
and while the success has absolutely been there, I totally get, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Until they show that they can beat you, why would you do anything else? But if I'm an opposing hitter, I mean, the scouting report's out. Go up there, and you are hunting nothing but 100-mile-an-hour gas. Someone's going to get him eventually. There's never been a pitcher who has ever been able to live on one pitch.
Sure there has. Mariano Rivera lived on one
That's
pitch
true.
For 100 years. And the other thing,
but
too,
it wasn't
is
a straight fastball.
No, it was a cutter, but, I mean, if you locate, there's no reason. You need, as a closer, there's no reason. And no one's making contact
He's not,
off
I mean,
this guy.
I mean, a lot of them are down the middle, though.
Yeah.
A lot of them are down the middle.
Yeah, it's
Sammy,
an,
what are, what
it's
are you,
an electric
what are you
fastball.
Have you talked to anybody about this?
Well, I talked to Robert about it about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks, and at that point he may have gone two or three outings where he had thrown exclusively four-seamers. I think that may have actually been before he even mixed in a sinker. And he said to me that he has confidence in that pitch and that if he can locate it, it feels like he can perform really, really well. So, he did mention using the changeup a little bit, you know, to mix things up. But he clearly has a lot of confidence in that pitch. And I'm not at this point of the season, I'm not all that worried about it of guys, you know, hunting fastballs. You know, look, we know Robert Suarez has that changeup that can be really, really devastating. Obviously, he has the variation of the fastball, and I'm sure when he's reading swings and going throughout an outing, if he's facing a team that looks like they're dialed in on a fastball, he'll make the necessary adjustments. I just think it's interesting more than anything.
It is so interesting.
Going back to it. Yeah.
I guess just for me, I know he has that changeup.
But the threat, Ben, the threat of knowing that.
Even just throwing one away occasionally, like in the dirt, just so the other team knows it's still there. The fact that you've
they
gone
know
six
it's there.
Straight.
But they know
they?
It's yes. I mean, they know it's
point,
there.
At this point, if I was facing Robert Suarez, I'd just be sitting heat. And if he beats me with a changeup, good for him. But if he's gone six straight appearances in a span of somewhere around 60 to 70 pitches without throwing anything else, I'm not looking for anything else. And if he fools me, good on him. But I've got to be sitting fastball at this point.
I think you could sit fastball for the rest of your life.
Well, I couldn't. But I feel like guys like eventually like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and players like that. I've been told that major league players can hit a fastball.
They
no matter
can.
How hard it is, they eventually will hit the fastball.
It's just he's got that life to it that it's working. Knock on wood, man. He's going to Colorado. All bets are out the window. I don't even if he gives one up in Colorado, I don't even blame him because it's Colorado, Sammy. But he's out there doing his job.
Yeah.
Getting those last three outs, the toughest ones to get, certainly. But for the rest of the guys, I think one thing we haven't touched on this morning is I suffer from a lot of confusion about lineups every day. And, you know, I understand Graham Pauly had the big error the other night. There's times in yesterday's game, too. I'm like, look, Mike Schilt said as much on Saturday. Quote from him in Kevin Acey's piece. Yeah, Tyler Wade's pretty much a utility player. And then he kind of backtracked and was like, it doesn't mean he can't play every day. It still surprises me that Tyler gets that fourth at bat. If he's going to start the game, fine. But he gets that fourth at bat late in the game. Do you think that's defensive only? I know Eggie's been subbed in for defense at times. We have four guys covering third base essentially at this point,
right.
Sammy, waiting for Manny to get back. So I'm just a little bit confused about usage, and you can't call Pauly up here to just sit on the bench again.
Well, look, I agree with you on that for sure. And I felt this way coming out of spring training, and quite frankly, I have been a little bit surprised based on what was said during spring training, how Pauly has been used at least to this point in the major leagues. I mean, I really felt like coming out of spring training, if Pauly was going to be on this team, he was going to get a real chance to play almost every day, right? Because that's what made sense to me. And honestly, that's kind of what we heard coming out of spring training. If a young guy like a Merrill or a Pauly made the team, you know, that they would probably be in a situation where they play mostly every day. And obviously that has not been anywhere close to the case so far. So, look, I'm very intrigued to see what happens now this time around. You know, look, yesterday facing a right-hander in Chris Bassett, it wasn't Graham Pauly. It was Tyler Wade who got the start. Look, Pauly did have the error the day before. I don't think with a young player like that, who has such limited experience at the major league level, I don't think you can literally play it game to game, right? It can't be a situation where if Pauly makes an error or he takes an over that he's not playing the next day. To be honest, Woodsy and Ben and Paul, I'm not totally sure of what the plan's going to be moving forward, because I would have said coming out of spring training that Pauly's going to play almost every day, and that didn't happen. So we'll see. Again, you know, just initially, if you're going to call him back up from AAA, it would indicate to me he's at least going to play more. But you're right. It's been a total revolving door at third base. And some of that just is what it is, right? I mean, you have Rosario and Wade who have been platooning, and along with Pauly when he's been here. You know, and I suppose if you're just looking at it from a performance standpoint, yeah, there hasn't been one guy that's like stepped forward and grabbed that position and said, I'm playing every day. You know, if a guy really has an opportunity to do that with the way things are set up, and obviously Manny eventually coming back to third base as well. But I'm very intrigued to see what the playing time looks like for Graham Pauly. Because, again, if he's here from AAA El Paso after you already sent him back down to the minor leagues, I just feel like he's got to get a chance to get some run and play most days and get some consistent at-bats and really see what he can do, because to this point he hasn't had that opportunity, quite simply. So we'll see, but point, and even since Paulie's been back the last couple of days, you know, that hasn't been the case so far. So I think it's an intriguing storyline until Manny's playing third base again.
Well, and Eggy, I think, is the best defensive third baseman that they have right now. But you can't throw, I mean, I guess you could throw him in the lineup against right-handers. He just doesn't hit right-handers.
He made a bad play yesterday.
He did. Yeah. He did, yeah. I mean,
yeah, no, that's a good point. And I think, that, like, you know, yesterday, and it was asked about Mike Schilt after the game on Saturday, actually, why Eggy stayed in for a second at bat. That was the eighth inning. He had pinch hit for Paulie in the seventh, had a double, if you remember. And then in the eighth inning, he actually stayed in for an at bat against the righty Swanson, and they decided to keep him in against the righty. I don't know if that's any indication of anything, but you know, Eggy's had some nice moments offensively, and I did understand in that spot saying, you know what, let's keep him in against the righty. He just hit a double.
Yeah.
You know, so I got it, but yeah, it continues to be kind of a, you know, an interesting situation at third base with how that playing time is getting divvied up.
As you both kind of indicated, this all changes when Manny Machado is back and playing third base regularly. Then it's a DH issue. We've seen Donovan Solano playing over the weekend in El Paso, perhaps getting closer to his debut with the San Diego Padres. Have you heard anything lately? I know we ask a lot about Manny's return.
Yeah.
I know he's got a paternity leave likely coming up soon as well. We're not sure when that is. Is there anything that you got this weekend, an update on where Manny is?
I didn't. The last time that we heard Mike Schilt talk about it was last weekend in L.A. And it was, you know, I think what I said to you a week ago, where, you know, obviously it seems like a very, very fluid situation based on Manny and how that arm's feeling and how that throwing program is going. And I think also it's very clear that when he does play third base, it's not going to be him playing third base every single day right away. It's going to be third base, then maybe a DH day, then, you know, they're going to ease him in. So I still think we are a bit of a ways away from Manny playing third base every single day, like we're accustomed to him doing. You know, but again, a little ways away. I don't know. Is that, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks? Is that 2-3 weeks? I don't know at this point. I continue to get the sense, though, based on everything, you know, you hear, that it just continues to be sort of a fluid situation based on his recovery process. So no, as far as updates in the last week, no, I don't have anything more for you.
Did also see that, speaking of the minor leagues, Leodales DeVries is going to head to Lake Elsinore. And you did a great job, by the way. We played some of the audio, Sam, last week of your stint calling game for the Lake Elsinore Storm. Was that a lot of fun?
Yeah, it was. I had a lot of fun, actually, doing it. I had never been up there to the Diamond at Lake Elsinore. Really nice ballpark. Great broadcast booth. And it was, yeah, I had a lot of fun. Beautiful area over there. I'd never been up there. So it was cool. And obviously Dylan Head is you know, the top prospect as far as rankings that's with them right now. And they're going to get DeVries reportedly, which is awesome. And I would imagine he'll probably be there for a while for how young he is. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. I kind of felt like I was at home sitting in a minor league broadcast booth. And there is something really nice about it, and meeting all the people in the press box up there at Lake Elsinore. I had a lot of fun, and appreciate them having me up there. It was a blast.
Keep crushing, buddy.
Yep, Sammy, I got the EcoWater SoCal pregame show 4:40 today. Dylan Cease on the mound against Austin Gomber. Sammy will have all the details for you this afternoon. Rest up, and we'll hear from you again in 8 or 9 hours.
All right, guys, thanks so much. And I'm sorry about my phone earlier. I don't know. I'm sitting in my apartment.
It's not just it happens to everybody.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's literally by the kitchen, and my apartment's not very big. It's one bedroom here in PB. But in the kitchen, literally just a total dead zone over there for the cell phone.
I mean, my house, too.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And I was sitting on the other side, so I don't know what happened. But, yeah, it's not great.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, see ya.
No idea why those happen.
I hate it.
I mean, again, like if you're in the middle of Sedona or something, like electromagnetic vortexes, yes. But why in Encinitas in your kitchen does it not work, but it works fine in the other parts of the house?
Yeah,
I don't
terrible.
Know.
Terrible.
Don't get it. Don't
There's
understand.
There's one spot on the five.
La Jolla. No.
Carmel Valley. They just
Carmel Valley?
Just dies. My, every time.
I guess it depends on which provider, which carrier you have for your mobile coverage as well. But
we're very spoiled.
We are. We like everything to work perfectly all the time. And when it doesn't, it's an outrage.
Yep.
It's an affront to us personally. They're doing it to us personally. And we can't stand it. All right. Good job by Sammy. We will have more of our look at the game ahead in our 9 o'clock hour. Also coming up in our final hour. Let's see. Paulie's got some headlines in the Rindle Report.
I think we'll get some moves today, transaction wise. You got to prepare for this series in Colorado. You got to, you know, I did see Donovan Solano pulled from the game yesterday in the fifth inning. Do you think he makes it? Debut for the Padres this weekend this week in Colorado.
I don't know. It depends on like who would he be replacing.
I don't know
at this point.
I don't know. Graham Pauly, maybe. I have no idea. I want to talk more about that too, because we got a little insight from the skipper in spring training about, you know, kind of where he stands and what he's going to do with the lineup if it is in fact his call.
You almost always see some pitching moves for Colorado, not necessarily to start the series, but at some point in the series, just to reinforce your bullpen, you make a change at some point. I know the Rockies are going to have to. They already have a TBA for Wednesday. They had a doubleheader yesterday, so they probably will definitely need pitching reinforcements for this series. Also have some concert tickets to give away. Parker McCollum coming to Count Coast Credit Union Open Air Theater in October. We're going to give away tickets for that in our final hour as well. It's all ahead. 60 more minutes of Ben and Woods on the way on a Monday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back.